Bumper Sunday, everybody. It's time for another edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. Rob Witham along with you on an edition of the podcast that drops a little earlier than usual, as, of course, you know, we know that all of our attention spans will be straight to our television screens here in several hours as we record the podcast here, getting set for Super Bowl 50. You know, it's really strange. I was 5 months from being born when they played the first ever AFL-NFL World Championship game. That was its first official title in January of 1967 when the NFL champion Green Bay Packers, who had all the pressure on them, took on the AFL champion Kansas City Chiefs in what would also be known as Super Bowl I. And the term Super Bowl took over by the second year. And by Super Bowl III, the NFL-AFL merger was already complete, but people were beginning to wonder, oh boy, maybe this was a bad idea and we're taking on a league that was far inferior. And, you know, the Baltimore Colts come into the Orange Bowl for Super Bowl III in 1969, and I'm 18 months old at the time. Heavy favorites against the New York Jets, and we all know what happened that day. And I think almost as important to cement the legacy of the NFL was not just what happened that day, but what happened the next year when Kansas City came back to the Super Bowl, got there against Bud Grant in Minnesota, and thoroughly defeated the Vikings in that game in a great NFL Films deal where, if you've never seen it, where Hank Stram was mic'd up and they have all of his audio as the head coach of the Chiefs. It was just fantastic stuff. And that was the last Super Bowl played before the actual merger became official, and there was no more AFL, and everybody was in the NFL, and there were now two conferences, as you know them today, as the NFC and the AFC. And by then it was squared off at 2-2, and people were thinking, well, okay, you know. And then we get through the 70s, and we have the domination of Miami early on, and Miami had been one of the last expansion teams to move into the AFL. You know, when they won their first Super Bowl in 1973, the 72 season, the 17-0 Dolphins, they'd only been in existence, I think that was their sixth or seventh season as a franchise. So for them to be able to, first of all, grab Don Shula from Baltimore, who I think that loss in Super Bowl III kind of made him available eventually. There was some friction between Shula and the Colts because of that loss that was never supposed to happen. And, you know, he moves on to Miami, and Miami goes on to three straight Super Bowls, and they win two of them. And the first of them was, of course, the only perfect season in NFL history, the 72 Dolphins of 44 years ago. And then Pittsburgh had its run. Of course, Pittsburgh was an NFL franchise, but they moved over to the AFC along with Baltimore and Cleveland in order to even out the conferences once the merger had happened. And they, you know, that was a tough thing too back in the late 60s when the NFL owners were like, okay, we're doing this merger, and some of you are going to have to move over to even out the conferences. And finally, it was, I believe, Art Modell, the former owner of Cleveland, who said, you know, I'll move, but I need Pittsburgh to go with me. And Pittsburgh agreed, the Rooney family, and then Baltimore became the third and final team to even it out, and they received financial compensation for doing so. But it's been a long, strange ride, and I used to think a long time ago when I was a kid, and, you know, here I was, first Super Bowl I remember in my brain was Super Bowl VII when Miami finished their perfect season. And I remember it because my older brother was a huge Washington fan at that time, so obviously he was all jacked up for the Redskins being in their first Super Bowl and then sorely disappointed when they lost. And I remember every Super Bowl since. So, been there almost the whole way. My brother has seen them all. He watched Super Bowl I as an 8-year-old boy. Oh, those many years ago. So it's just kind of trippy for people in my generation to think that we are about to watch Super Bowl 50. But before we do, we have a lot of things to talk about here in the area. And let's, of course, go to our bread and butter and what's happened in high school sports this past week, get you our new top 10 boys and girls basketball polls, and much, much more. First, want to say congratulations to all of the club swimming teams in Henrico and Chesterfield County. Wow. What a night, Friday night at the Collegiate School Aquatic Center over at Swim RVA, where RVA Sports Network was the only media outlet to bring you live Twitter coverage of the first ever Clash of the Counties, as all of the club schools in Chesterfield got together and battled all the club schools from Henrico. There were 418 swimmers, I believe, registered in the event, 228 out of Chesterfield, 190 out of Henrico, over 900 entries, 24 races, and when it was all said and done, there was a trophy for the boys and the trophy for the girls. You would combine all the scores of all the teams from your county to see which county came out on top. Henrico won the girls' meet, 1147.5 to 1022.5, and Chesterfield took the boys' meet, 1252 to 918. You know, I hadn't even thought about putting the scores together. 2065-22 there. So Chesterfield would have won a combined meet, but that's not how the meet ran. They had two trophies, one for the boys and one for the girls. So congratulations to all the swimmers who participated in the event. When you break the scores down by school, big night for Douglas Freeman. Their boys and their girls scored the most points out of all the schools that were participating. Your top five girls teams were Douglas Freeman, J.R. Tucker, Cosby, Monikin, Clover Hill in terms of points scored. Top five boys teams by school were Douglas Freeman, Midlothian, Mills Godwin, Monikin, Cosby. Very impressed on the Chesterfield side by Swim Monikin. Great work by Cosby, especially in that last relay. And I wish I had the information and the names of the girls who swam it, but the last two relay races were left off the program, so we don't have those on our heat sheet. But Cosby was down with 50 yards to go in the final sprint there in the 200 freestyle relay in the girls category and came roaring back, I want to say, either in lane 5 or lane 6 and grabbed the victory in the final 15 meters. Or 15 yards, I should say. I'm used to saying meters. And so congratulations. Just some great swimming and a wonderful atmosphere and a packed house. And a great first year of swimming for all the club schools in Chesterfield. They'll probably have to go through at least one or two more years until they're able to get A, VHSL sanctioning. And, of course, B, part of that process is that you've got to go through and you've got to get budgeting into your annual school board budget, which then has to be approved by the school board, which then has to be approved by your county board of supervisors. So, you know, Henrico's ahead of the deal in that this is their third year of club swimming. And I've talked to some people involved in the programs in Henrico, and they are hoping, that they will be VHSL sanctioned in the fall. And so that 2016-17 would be the first year that they could compete with Maggie Walker and the Hanover County Schools in Goochland and the rest of the schools in the Commonwealth who are doing VHSL swimming. And it would be great to have Henrico with us and be fantastic when Chesterfield joins up. And before the end of the decade, all of that should happen. So really looking forward to it. But my thanks to the guys over at Swim RVA, to Brad and the gang, for inviting us and setting us up, and to all of the different swimming coaches who helped us out to make that event part of our broadcast. Well, not broadcast, but part of our coverage schedule here on Twitter. Really enjoyed it. It was fantastic. Had a great time. And again, congratulations to all of the participants at Clash of the Counties. Saturday, a big day for wrestling across the area. Want to congratulate a couple of teams over in Chesterfield for grabbing conference titles. Cosby winning the Conference 3 championship at home on Saturday afternoon. Also Saturday afternoon, victorious in Conference 12, Matoaka. And Mark Davis at NBC 12, if you didn't see it, go to NBC12.com, go to the high school sports page, and look for his video feature on Matoaka Wrestling. It aired earlier this week on NBC 12 News. I want to say it might have been Tuesday, because I don't think it would have been Wednesday because of National Signing Day. So, but anyway, maybe it was Tuesday, but sometime in the past week, Mark went out, interviewed some of the wrestlers, and they talked about how they didn't want to, you know, disappoint the program. They wanted to keep, you know, the success of the program alive, and they took a huge step one in doing that on Saturday with their win over at the Conference 12 Championship. So want to congratulate Motueka. Motueka, with 246.5 points, easily outdistancing their Conference 12 competition. Prince George second at 170, LC Bird third, 157, Highland Springs fourth at 143. So congratulations to Motueka. Back to Conference 3, Cosby won with 230 points. Thomas Dale edged out James River for second. Thomas Dale at 176.5. James River third, 167.5. Clover Hill was fourth at 152.5. So again, Cosby, Motueka, congratulations go out to them. On the other side of the river, up north, conferences 11 and 20. Congratulations to Lee Davis, first of all, for winning the Conference 11 tournament in very impressive fashion. Ends up with 242 points to easily outdistance J.R. Tucker for second. And so Lee Davis with a big win, four individual champions at Conference 11 on Saturday. And in Conference 20, went down to the wire nip and tuck between Hanover and Powhatan. And Hanover was able to get the victory. Congratulations to them. They repeat as Conference 20 champions. But what a great performance in their first Conference 20 tournament by Powhatan. It ended up being 223 points for Hanover, 204.5 for the Indians. So you have to be impressed with their performance in their first Conference 20 tournament over in 4A East. So Hanover will be a team that will look to continue at the regional level in 4A, Motueka in 5A, Cosby in 6A. Those are teams that we have seen do this before, and now we're looking at Lee Davis over in 5A as a team where I talked with their head coach, Craig Spruill, after their win yesterday, and he's like, this is my fourth season. This is where I've wanted us to get to. Now we are at that point, and things are now starting to come together. And talking to 120-pound conference champion Hayden Keener, he very much was, you know, it was the toughness of this team. I knew this team could be good, but I didn't realize how tough this team could be until, you know, we actually went through the season and performed. Lee Davis also credited their win in a duel over Hanover back a couple of weeks ago in the regular season as being huge to their success yesterday and to whatever future success they may have come region time next week and the states coming up 2 weeks from now. So congratulations to the Cosby Titans, the Motueka Warriors, Lee Davis Confederates, Hanover Hawks, all getting conference wrestling championships on Saturday. Congratulations to Douglas Freeman Gymnastics. They captured, again, the Conference 11 Gymnastics Championship. That was also on Saturday. Earlier in the week in the combined Conference 12, 16, and 20 tournament, that was Wednesday night back at Verina, Patrick Henry gets the win. Sierra Baxter with the all-around championship, the sophomore from PH. And so congratulations to the Patriots for their victory there. A lot of track going on as well, and I know that's one thing that we haven't gotten a lot of information to you on Twitter, and we're going to try to rectify that here on Sunday and into the early part of next week to recognize those who have been in conference action here the last several days. And if memory serves me correctly, there's still one more conference tournament to come. I believe Conference 20 is on Tuesday over at the Arthur Ashe Center, and then, you know, things start to look toward the region. And of course, track goes a week later than the other combined winter sports. You know, you got basketball, and then you got all the ones that are in teams, such as gymnastics and wrestling and swimming. That, you know, they don't play, you know, 2-3 games a week. They have one meet a week or one duel a week or maybe two or, the, you know, that sort of thing. And track, state championships are the last week in February, whereas the championships statewide for wrestling, swimming, and gymnastics are less than 2 weeks away, the weekend of February the 20th. All right, let's get to our top 10 polls. But first, before we do that, want to give a shout-out to Maggie Walker Sr., Emma Call. Emma has done some great things in her track career, but maybe nothing better than what she did on Saturday. One track note that we got sent by Coach Ryan Webb. Want to congratulate Emma. She became the first girl in the history of VHSL Group 2A track and field to ever break the 5-minute barrier in the girls' 1600. She was in a race in North Carolina Saturday, and she finished in 4:59.63. Just a fantastic accomplishment. So to Emma Call at Maggie Walker, congratulations on your accomplishment. All right, now let's get to the new top 10 polls. As you know, we'll talk about the boys in a moment. It was a crazy week in boys basketball. Several big upsets. And thus, the top 10 has jumbled. Girls, on the other hand, not a whole lot of changes, but we have the latest polls for you now. And they can be seen, of course, at rvasportsnetwork.com. That's at rvasportsnetwork.com. Top 10 girls falling one notch to number 10, Deep Run, after their loss to J.R. Tucker in their second battle. And a game that, for all intents and purposes, gave J.R. Tucker the inside track, if not the outright number one seed in the upcoming Conference 11 tournament. It's looking more and more like it's going to be J.R. Tucker 1, Deep Run 2, Henrico 3, and Glenn Allen 4. Then you'll have Mills Godwin, probably the fifth seed, and it'll be up to either Hermitage or Lee Davis to take the sixth seed. Douglas Freeman has been eliminated. So Deep Run down 1 to 10, up 1 to 9 after debuting in our poll a couple of weeks back. The Titans of Trinity Episcopal had a chance to watch them live in action on a Thursday afternoon when they were at Collegiate, and just a fantastic performance by the Titans that day. That second half was a thing of beauty. And what's crazy about it, and we tweeted about this on the RVA Sportsnet after the game, 61 of their 69 points in that win on Thursday afternoon were scored by freshmen and sophomores. They have one of the players to watch on the ESPN Class of 2019 freshman list, and that is Elania Johnson, inside force, no doubt about it. But she's not the only player that they've got. They've got some fantastic talent over at Trinity Episcopal. Enjoyed watching them play. And they move up 1 to number 9 with their wins this past week. Staying steady at number 8, Huguenot. Staying steady at number 7, Henrico, as they get set for the last week of the regular season. Also steady at number 6, the Tigers of J.R. Tucker. Tucker will have their last home game of the regular season Thursday night against Patrick Henry, who needs one more win to clinch the number 2 seed and have a bye in the first round of the Conference 16 girls basketball tournament. Patrick Henry currently into the week at the record of 12-7. If they beat Hanover on Monday night, our projections say that that gets them the 2 seed and a bye into Wednesday. Atlee right now fighting for the 3 seed after that very slow start. They've gone on a huge run here late. And for Atlee, that's big. It will at least get them an opportunity to host a first-round game on Monday the 15th, and then it's all possible that they may have a trip to Ashland to take on Patrick Henry in the semifinals for a shot at the regional berth, because two teams will come out of the region. So it's the conference semifinals. Yeah, you want to win your conference tournament, but what matters the most is your conference semifinal, because that punches your ticket to the next round. And then things are a little different this year with the VHSL reinstating the state quarterfinal level when it comes to what's important in the regions, and we'll talk about that in a moment. So Tucker stays steady at 6. Top 5 are the same. St. Catharines at 5. LC Bird at 4. In spite of their loss to Monacan, where Megan Walker drops 50 on them, Cosby remains steady at number 3. Monacan is at 2. And Highland Springs, of course, at number 1. Still undefeated with 2 regular season games to go. You know what's so crazy about this season? And you know, even in the girls' level, we have this up at the top where that top tier is. If I take you all the way back to just before Christmas, Times Dispatch Invitational Tournament, Highland Springs gets a pretty good lead on Cosby, and then we get closer and closer to the end of the game, and you might recall Jocelyn Jones put up 10 points in 90 seconds, and it ended up being a 3-point game. Highland Springs only won by 3 over Cosby. Cosby now plays Monacan twice in the regular season, and Monacan handles them easily both times. Whereas Monacan, boy, if they dropped one, if they laid one egg this year, it was at the Siegel Center 2 nights before Christmas in that loss in the championship to Highland Springs, where they just did not look like Monacan at all. And Highland Springs won the TDIT. But how crazy is that? That it's Cosby and not Monacan that gave Highland Springs their toughest test so far, even though Monacan handled Cosby twice. And now it's all just talk because Highland Springs moves into the 5A tournaments, and Monacan's in 4A and Cosby's in 6A. So, you know, they all now will, in about a week, start their quests for their own roads to the Siegel Center on the second week of March. So there's your girls' top 10. Highland Springs, Monacan, Cosby, LC Bird, St. Catharines, top 5. Tucker Henrico Huguenot, still 6-7-8. The only change this week, Trinity Episcopal and Deep Prun flip-flop. Titans up to 9, Wildcats down to 10. Now the boys. Oh, boy. What a week. And it began Monday night with the RVA Sports Network Game of the Week when we were there when John Marshall knocked off number 1 Deep Prun, 72-67. In a game where John Marshall looked so much different than they did at the Times Dispatch Invitational Tournament. I mean, they just act like they wanted it more. They were hungrier. They were more ready. They were more focused. Deep Run didn't seem to have the edge that they had 3 weeks earlier at Henrico when they knocked off Henrico and ended that 33-game winning streak. And so John Marshall goes and gets that win. But then what happens as the week progresses? Well, you got Hermitage coming into John Marshall Thursday night. They get a big lead. They hold on, and Robbie Osborne and company knock off John Marshall. So suddenly you're thinking, And then we get to Saturday, and John Marshall faces arguably one of the best teams in the state in IC Norcom, a team that LC Bird ended their winning streak a week earlier. And they have a lead for much of the night at home at Coaches for the Cure over at John Marshall, but Norcom gets them late, and they win 67-60. So John Marshall has a rough week. They go 1-2, but their one win was against the number one team in the area in Deep Run. St. Christopher's gets their third win of the season over Trinity. Henrico survives 2 tough tests this week that they probably weren't expecting to be tough. They go to Hanover, and it is nip and tuck the entire game, and Hanover scores with a second or two to go, and it looks like it's going to be overtime. And then, of course, you know the deal. Monty Buckingham nails about a 60-footer at the buzzer, and Henrico wins 80-77 to survive that game. And then Armstrong gives them a tussle on Friday night before they break away late to get the win there. Steady as they go all week long, LC Bird get their wins this week, including against Millwood at Coaches for the Cure on Saturday afternoon. And here we go, the new boys' top 10 poll. After all is said and done, here's how it shakes out. Oh, and Dinwiddie got beat by Prince George early in the week, so the number 6 team fell. It was a crazy week. Number 10, Monacan, holding steady at number 10 as they get set for the Conference 20 tournament, where it looks like they're going to be the 2 seed behind number 9, Dinwiddie, falling 3 notches after that loss to Prince George. But they come back and get a couple of nice wins late in the week, including a win Saturday over Denby. And I believe the record now 14-4 as they get set for the final week of the regular season. Up 1 from 9-8, the Blue Devils of Hopewell. Hopewell knocking off their rival Petersburg on Saturday night. holding steady at 7 in spite of the loss to St. Christopher's, but they got a good win over Woodbury Forest on Saturday to bounce back from that loss, the Titans of Trinity Episcopal. Up 2 spots from 8-6, they get the win at John Marshall, and then they host Senior Day Saturday at Randolph-Macon. We were there for that game, and Robbie Osborne with another big one. As he goes, I believe, for 25 or 26 points. And it was a big double-double performance for him. And they defeat Glenn Allen. Glenn Allen was in that game until the beginning of the fourth quarter. And then Hermitage ended the game on a 20-1 run. They had a 56-51 lead. And then they allowed Glenn Allen 1 point down the stretch. And a great performance at the end. And what's impressed me about Hermitage, and I really wanted to try to get to see them before the postseason, because hadn't seen them live since before Christmas. And who they were then as opposed to who they are now, they are two totally different teams. Yes, Robbie Osborne is the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak. But there is depth on that team that Coach Rob Rice has developed here this season that is going to serve them well when they get to the Conference 11 tournament, because it's very simple. There are three really good teams in Conference 11, Henrico, Deep Run, Hermitage. You've got a spoiler team in Mills Godwin who could come up, and if they get a very big hot shooting night and their opponent gets in foul trouble, Godwin could do some damage. They laid waste to Glenn Allen by 33 points on Friday night. That might have been the most surprising result that I saw come in on Friday night, was how Glenn Allen lost to Godwin, the performance that Godwin did. So therefore, our game of the week on Tuesday night, Hermitage Mills Godwin, I think could be a very, very good matchup, especially it's at Mills Godwin, which is always a great atmosphere. And we're really looking forward to it. Those two teams, you know, are going to be the underdogs going into the Conference 11 tournament, trying to take out the big dogs in Henrico and Deep Run. If things go to form, you know, we're looking at maybe Deep Run Mills Godwin in one semi, Henrico Hermitage in the other, or possibly Henrico Mills Godwin in one, Deep Run and Hermitage in the other. You know, and that's not counting out the Douglas Freemans and the other teams that would be in the tournament. We're not trying to do that at all. Douglas Freeman, Glenn Allen will be the other two teams in the tournament. In Conference 11, they take 6 out of 8. The last two teams do not get in the tournament, and this year it'll be Lee Davis and J.R. Tucker who do not qualify. But yeah, Tuesday night's game of the week is going to be great. It's going to be a doubleheader, Hermitage at Mills Godwin, 6 o'clock. We'll have the girls first, then the boys. And it's all for you on the RVA Sports Network on our YouTube channel. So looking forward to that. Hermitage, number 6, up 2 notches in our poll. The team that really got lost in the shuffle this week with all the results and all the changes and all the upheaval is our former number 1 team, the Deep Run Wildcats. They lose the one game at home by 5 points, and they fall from 1-5 in our poll. In spite of winning at Deep Run, but then they go and they lose to later in the week, albeit to very good competition, a top 10 team in Hermitage and one of the best teams at the 757 in Norcom. When all is said and done, John Marshall holds steady at number 4. They're just ahead of Deep Run, but of course the win over Deep Run on Monday night. But John Marshall doesn't move up. They also don't move down. Up 2 to number 3, St. Christopher's. Nick Sherrod, Alex Petrie and company at 20-4 and getting set for, of course, the private school state tournament's coming up here shortly. They move up 2 notches with all the upheaval going on and a good win over Trinity Episcopal to cement sweeping that series this season back on Friday. Up 1 to number 2, the Henrico Warriors, after surviving at Hanover and finally getting away from a very feisty Armstrong team on Friday. And the new number 1 team in our RVA Sports Network Top 10 Boys Basketball poll, a team that a lot of people have looked at this year and thought, they're a good team, but maybe they're not a top team. And consistently, they may have been higher in our rankings than in other rankings. But they have steadily played well. They've only lost once. They ended Norcom's winning streak. And they got the job done this week, laying waste to their rival Thomas Dale, then knocking off Millwood at Coaches for the Cure. It is Troy Manns and the Skyhawks of L.C. Byrd. They become the third different team to hold the number 1 position in the RVA Sports Network Top 10 Boys Basketball poll this season. So our new boys top 10 poll after the crazy week that was: Bird 1, Henrico 2, St. Chris at 3, John Marshall holds at 4, Deep Run down from 1 to 5, Hermitage up to 6 after the win at John Marshall, Trinity Episcopal holds at 7, Hopewell up 1 to 8, Dinwiddie down 3 to 9, and Monacan holds steady at number 10. Cosby just outside of our poll. Cosby looks like they're going to have the top seed in the Conference 3 boys tournament, even though Clover Hill is right behind them, and those two have had some tussles this season. And it looks like the road through Conference 3 in both boys and girls is going to go through Cosby. Again, top 10 polls are available right now at RVASportsNetwork.com and also posted every week there, RVASportsNetwork.com. While we have a few moments before we wrap things up, let's talk a bit about upcoming tournaments. The schedules that we know as of this point, we're still going to get them up online as soon as we can. Things got away with us this week between everything going on as well as National Signing Day, and a note about that coming up in just a moment as well. But first, let's talk about where we're going to be this week. As of this moment, Monday night, we're going to be in Ashland for Patrick Henry and Hanover in boys basketball. That is a game that was supposed to be played January 22nd, but of course that's the day that Friday the snowstorm hit. And so they'll be making up those games on Monday night. The girls will be over at Hanover. We'll be up in Ashland for the boys game, covering that for the Hanover Herald Progress. Hanover, of course, coming off that disappointing loss against Henrico, where it looked like they were going to go to overtime, and then Monty Buckingham broke their heart from 60 feet. Patrick Henry, disappointing season, but, you know, if they can get on a roll here late, maybe they can make some noise in the Conference 16 tournament. It's looking almost certain that Atlee and Patrick Henry are going to face each other in the first round of the Conference 16 tournament on Monday the 15th. It'll be the 4-5 game, and the game will take place at Atlee, the team with the better record. That officially will be coming out later this week. So that's Monday night. Tuesday night, of course, our game of the week, live on our YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/RVA Sports Network and subscribe today. Just click subscribe. It's free. You don't get spammed. The only thing we'll do is every time we go on the air live, you'll get a notification, either email or on your phone. And every time we put a new video up, as we did on National Signing Day from Highland Springs, you'll get a notification. But we won't send you a bunch of junk and all that stuff. That's not what we do. So click subscribe. Never miss another live RVA Sports Network broadcast. Hermitage at Mills Godwin. We go on the air at 6, the girls game first, and then the boys game to follow. Huge game for the Hermitage girls as they're trying to get into the Conference 11 tournament. Godwin girls are in. And then the boys match up. The two teams are in the conference tournament. Hermitage is locked into the 3 seed. Godwin making sure that they're in the 4 seed position. And Godwin would love to pull off an upset of Hermitage to get fired up and ready to maybe pull off some shockers in Conference 11 and get a shot at the regional as well. So looking forward to that on Tuesday night. We're not worried about the snow shower forecast mess. We're going to play some hoops this week. On Wednesday night right now, we're scheduled to be at Randolph-Macon. It will be the Yellow Jackets in ODAC action, the men. Boy, they've had a couple of really tough and disappointing losses this week after a huge win at home over league-leading Virginia Wesleyan. It looked like that they were going to climb into the conference race, and now instead of being 8-3 or 7-4, they're 6-5. They still have a chance maybe with a late-season run at the 4 seed, which means a first-round bye in the ODAC tournament in 2.5 weeks. But they're going to have to string together some wins very soon, and that begins on Wednesday night. Thursday night will be at J.R. Tucker for Patrick Henry and J.R. Tucker in girls basketball. That's a 7:30 start. I believe that's going to be senior night for Anne-Marie Barron and company. At least I'm hoping so. Big game for Patrick Henry, possibly. If they don't beat Hanover on Monday night or Verina on Tuesday night, they'll go into that game needing to get a win in order to clinch a bye in the Conference 16 tournament based on our projections. So there could be a lot to play for Patrick Henry, or they could have already clinched that and they'll just be trying to make sure they don't, you know, get injured, et cetera, et cetera. Tucker, on the other hand, inside track to the number 1 seed in Conference 11. Who knows, they may need a win on Thursday night for that. Friday, there's action going on around the area, including the Henrico County annual end-of-season swim meet over at Nova in the far west end on Gayton Road. We have not decided where we're going to be for coverage on Friday night. It could be swimming, could be basketball, and we'll let you know as the week progresses. Next Saturday, there is just gobs of things going on in the area, and we'll keep you posted when we know where we're going to be. There are region events, there's college basketball, and there's the Conference 11 basketball tournament starts at Glen Allen with a quadruple header. It's going to be a really crazy and busy day next Saturday. And then next Sunday, we're going to be, as long as it's not too cold, in the press box at Hugh Stevens Field at Randolph-Macon, as the Randolph-Macon baseball team has their first home series of the season next weekend against RPI, against Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Yellow Jackets went down to Alabama, got a great start this week, winning all three of their games at the Firehouse Subs Classic in Montgomery, Alabama. And so they're going to come home undefeated for a three-game series. They got a couple of games, I think, on Saturday and then one on Sunday, or it could be flip-flop, but we're scheduled to be in Ashland next Sunday. To play ball, yeah, doesn't that sound warm? 2016 baseball season about to begin. Some of our college softball teams getting ready to start this coming weekend. So we'll be watching a lot of our softball alums from the Metro Richmond area get their season started, including nationally ranked James Madison, number 19 in the preseason polls. Of course, Jessica McCabe of Metoica's there. So is Paige Mitchell and Ashley Samuels of Patrick Henry. Ashley now a sophomore, and Paige, of course, a freshman. Jessica, a sophomore as well. And Rain Wilson on her way there next year from Atlee High School, and that leads us into National Signing Day. Want to congratulate everybody who signed their national letters of intent or made their commitments in the Division III and the NAIA and the JUCO levels. To all of you, we personally got to witness 33 student-athletes at four different schools either put pen to paper or make their commitments, including some really wild things. Of course, we were there for Kevon Wallace making his announcement that he would attend Clemson. We put that on Periscope Wednesday morning, kind of impromptu, sent out a couple of tweets with, to promote it, and maybe about 20 minutes before it happened. And we're just stunned by how many people tuned into our Periscope app and watched Kevon pick Clemson live on the RVA Sports Network. We will be using Periscope more often from time to time, depending upon the circumstance and the situation. But thanks to everybody who joined us Wednesday morning for his announcement on our Periscope app. That was fantastic. If you're on Periscope, just search for us at RVA Sports Network. And again, from time to time, we'll do things on there. And when we do, we always send out a tweet live with the link on the RVA Sportsnet on Twitter. That's our main network feed on Twitter at the RVA Sportsnet. But yeah, 33 different athletes. There were seven who signed a deep run, six of them for track, and they all are going to Christopher Newport, including twins. That was a great signing ceremony in the midday hours. After we left Highland Springs, we went to Deep Run. We left there, went to Hermitage. 11 signing for football, including John Kenny to James Madison, Suleiman Kamara going to Wake Forest, Tavian Anderson on the way to Randolph-Macon, a good grab for Coach Pedro Aruza. Looking forward to watching him in the ODAC the next 4 years. And then we made our way to Atlee, where 11 more signed, and then two more signed at Atlee on Thursday to make it 13 total. So in 2 days, we got to talk to 35 different student-athletes and congratulate them. And that didn't count all of the action that was taken care of by our photographer over at the Herald Progress, Nick Liberante. We thank him big time for being up early to go to Patrick Henry's signings, for Keon Greenhow track to Temple, Tiffany Harris track to Coastal Carolina, and Ted Schubert swimming to the University of Virginia. And then, of course, the big football signings, the biggest class ever, five signees at Hanover High School on Wednesday morning, including Mac and Tab Patrick. Congratulations to them. And Joe Fishball going to Campbell. And one I got to mention, when I heard, finally got word that Marcus Pizzala had said yes to Randolph-Macon, I was really excited because Marcus is a prototypical Pedro Aruza football player. Coach is going to find a way to utilize him, and I'm looking forward to watching Marcus Pizzala on day field covering the Yellow Jackets here in the next 4 years. That is going to be a whole lot of fun. So National Signing Day, congratulations to everybody. In case you hadn't seen it yet, you might want to slide over to NBC12.com, go to the sports page for Mark and Matt. They did their usual webcast, Signing Day Central. It's about 14 minutes, and it gives you highlights from everybody in the area, all the schools that NBC12 got to on the day. And again, great to partner again with Mark and Matt and our friends at NBC 12, Richmond's number one choice for news. We are a proud partner with NBC 12 to bring you high school sports coverage here throughout the area on the RVA Sports Network. Tournament information as we have it right now. Conference 3 basketball tournaments will be games at higher seeds. We know Cosby's got the top seed in both boys and girls. They'll get byes to the semifinals. As we know right now, and if you give me just a moment, I'm going to double-check by bringing up a document really quick. But we know the first round, the 3-6 and the 4-5 games, will take place on Monday the 15th. And then the tournament semis will be at the higher seeds on Wednesday the 17th. And the championship games will be on the 19th. And if the number one seed Cosby Titans get in both in the boys and the girls, it could be a doubleheader over at Cosby on the 19th. Conference 11 tournament, we referenced it earlier. It actually starts this Saturday. There will be a quadruple header that will take place over at Glen Allen High School. And you will have the first round games at Glen Allen, 10 a.m., 12 noon, 2 p.m., 4 p.m. So a quadruple header of basketball action taking place next Saturday, the 13th. And that, again, is at Glen Allen High School. The 4-5 girls game will begin first, and then the girls 3-6, then the boys 4-5. And I need to correct myself. It's 11-1-3-5, not 10-12-2-4. It's an hour later. So scratch that. It's 11-1-3-5. Then the tournament goes to Henrico, and they will host this year the semis and the championships. Boys semis will be Tuesday night the 16th. RVA Sports Network will be there. We can confirm that we will have live tweet coverage of the Conference 11 boys semifinals on Tuesday night, February 16th. That will be the epicenter of basketball in Central Virginia, because that night it could be a situation to where Henrico, Deep Run, Hermitage, one other team are playing for two, not only spots in the tournament championship, but more importantly, playing for 5A South region bids. And that could be a historic night over at Henrico High School. Wednesday night will be the girls' semifinals, and the games are at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Number one seeds will play the 4-5 winners in the first game each night. Number two seeds will get the 3-6 winners each night. And then the championship games are on Friday night the 19th at Henrico, girls at 6 p.m. and the boys at 8 p.m. Conference 12 has yet to give out their information. It is not listed in the Virginia High School League. We are endeavoring to get that information from either tournament officials or ADs within the conference, and as soon as we can get that information, we'll pass it along to you. Conference 16, we mentioned earlier, all higher seeds, and that tournament also is a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday format with the first rounds on Monday. We mentioned it looks like it's going to be Patrick Henry at Atlee in one boys' first-round game on Monday night, the 15th. And it looks like, if they can get one more win, the Patrick Henry girls will be the two seed and get a bye into the semis on Wednesday night, the 17th, where they would host a team. And it's very possible it could be the Atlee Raiders if the Raiders end up at the number three seed spot and they win their 3-6 opener on Monday night. Over in conference number 20, tournaments are at the higher seeds. Opening rounds will be on Monday the 15th, and then it's a staggered schedule. The girls' semifinals will be on Tuesday night the 16th. The boys' semifinals will be on Wednesday night the 17th. The girls' championship game is on Thursday night the 18th. Monacan the heavy favorite there. And the boys' championship game will be at the higher seed on Friday night the 19th. And right now, Dinwiddie looks to be the number one seed. And so they, if they can hold steady through the tournament, could host the Conference 20 championship game. A team to watch for in that tournament, the Hanover Hawks, who may end up either 3 or 4. They'll have to play in the first round. Looks like they're going to host a first round game. But if they can play as well as they played against Henrico on Tuesday night and have confidence and do better at free throw shooting, Oh, boy. Who knows what might happen there. Conference 26 tournaments are supposed to be played late the week of the 15th up at the Arthur Ashe Center. All right, my friends. Wow. Tons of information. Little extra long period here on the podcast. We're going to wrap things up right now. Hey, VCU fans, take heart. You're 9-1 in the Atlantic 10. You're fine. Even though with the loss to George Washington, Rams are doing just fine. Really didn't expect them to go undefeated in the Atlantic 10. That's really not a goal. I mean, if that happens, it's fantastic, but it's not a goal. You want to win the conference. You want to get that number one seed into the tournament. You certainly want the double bye, even if you're not the number one seed. Just perspective. You know, Richmond fans, you've got winnable games coming up. You got one Saturday evening over UMass. You got some more on the way. You can build them up. You may not get one of the top four seeds in the double bye situation. But, you know, even if you can get 5, 6, 7, 8 position before the tournament gets started up in Brooklyn, Richmond certainly has got, you know, the mix and the talent to make a run at the Barclays Center. Randolph-Macon's men got to put it together. Sign of a very young team to where you get a big win and then you get some winnable games and you let them go and you let them slip away and you end up, you know, at about 500, and they are right now at 6-5. Randolph-Macon women at a critical juncture right now. They've lost a couple here in the last week that they could have won, and now they're 5-7. Virginia Union's women continue to roll, although Virginia State gave them all they could handle on Saturday afternoon before they finally won by just 3 points in that rivalry matchup. But boy, Kiana and the Panthers, what a story they have been in 2016. And as we close out, we're recording this before the Super Bowl. If you're a Panthers fan, good luck. If you're a Broncos fan, good luck. I'm torn. My brother's a Panthers fan. My mom's side of the family is from North Carolina, so I have roots in Carolina going back generations. Obviously, when I was a kid, there was no team in Carolina, so that was just a dream. And now there's been one for 21 seasons. They've never won the championship. So if Carolina wins, I will be very happy. By the same token, I would love to see Peyton Manning go out as a Super Bowl champion. I have a ton of respect for Peyton Manning and his career. But I'm an Oakland Raider fan, so I don't care for the Denver Broncos. So if Denver wins, I'll be happy for Peyton, but I won't be happy. if Carolina wins, I will be happy. And I've decided I'm not going to try to give a final score prediction, at least at this particular point. I might change my mind on Twitter. And if you're on Hanover Sports on Twitter, we'll probably hop on later tonight at some point and do what's become our fourth now annual Super Bowl talk, where we just kind of tweet at each other and have a lot of fun. So we're looking forward to that as well. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter wherever you are. Our main network Twitter feed, if you want to follow all sports going on in the RBA, not just high school, but college, pro, et cetera, hey, Squirrels opening day in 60 days, Atlantic 10 women's tournament in less than 30 days, we'll be there for that. Follow us at the RBA Sportsnet, at the RBA Sportsnet. And then if you want to follow your favorite teams in the suburban counties, we cover that too, at Hanover Sports, at Henrico Sports, and at Chesterfield Sports, all on Twitter. All right, my friends, thanks so much for being with us for another edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network. Of course, always intended for the... Let me try that again. Can I try that again? Okay, thank you. Always intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any rebroadcast or retransmission, other use of the podcast without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC is prohibited. And we thank you for being with us. Lots to come. Final week of basketball regular season this week. Region tournaments in wrestling, gymnastics, and swimming. Some of the region swimming tournaments have already been done. Over in 5A North, they're completed. Congratulations to the Atlee and Patrick Henry swimmers on their way to state competition. Basketball tournaments start with Conference 11 on Saturday, then get going in earnest the following Monday. Stay with us online all week long in our Game of the Week Tuesday night doubleheader Hermitage at Mills Godwin. We'll talk to you live there on Tuesday night at 6. Rob Witham saying, enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll see you on the sidelines.